appreciate the fact. I'm not going to call it out here, Angie, but you're wearing like tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And those intimidating heels that I see, I think they can do damage.
Everybody, and welcome back to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacy.
And I'm your co-host, Angie.
Why are you laughing?
I am so happy to be here. I just need a good laugh. Can't a girl just laugh sometimes?
Yeah.
Thank you.
At my expense. I appreciate that.
That's not at your expense at all. I'm laughing with you because you have a huge smile on your face over there.
I do. And a huge laugh. Okay. All right. That's fine. Well, welcome everybody. We thank you for joining us yet again. If you have found us through Facebook and you clicked on the link, go ahead and go over to Spotify or iTunes or anywhere you get your podcast and, hit that subscribe button, because when we have subscribers, guess what? It pops up in your feed every week. So you will know every Wednesday that there is a new Hustlin' in Heels podcast available. And we have quite a collection of guests coming your way, so you don't want to miss out on any of them. Right, Ange?
We do. But tell us what you like, too. Mm-hmm. We like recommendations. We like to hear from you. We like to know what you want, to know what you want to listen to, to know what kind of wine you drink. And I kind of want to know how to skydive. So those of you that were listening on our Facebook Live who have skydived before, please tell me all of the things.
Dana Burns, we're talking about you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So Auntie's trying all kinds of new things this year. I'm very excited about that.
I made it official today. Mm-hmm. October 6th, Spartan Sprint.
Tell them our team name.
It's going to happen. Hell on Heels. It's perfect. And I'm so excited. I'm committed.
Yes.
I can't get out of it now.
Excited for
you. I paid the monies and everything.
That's right.
Done and done.
It's a fish now.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a done deal.
Yes. We are, we're joined in the studio. I'm going to include him in our talk about the wine. So we are joined in the studio tonight by, and I said this on our Facebook Live too, by someone who I've been trying to get into the studio for at least a year. But, you know, he's a popular guy. He's got a following, and he managed to fit us in tonight.
Finally penciled us in.
Finally penciled us in. That's how it happened,
right?
It
was an ink. I was scared.
I mean, it's Stacey. I was scared too.
Yeah,
I get it.
Really?
I
appreciate the fact. I'm not going to call it out here, Angie, but you're wearing, like, tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And those intimidating heels that I see. I think they can do damage.
I'm not a scary
person. I showed up in my office and I saw this heel sitting on my desk, like,
I get it.
Now
that's how I'm like, that's how I landed here.
I got fingerprints and everything, but there were no fingerprints, no prints.
She took her heel off and shook it at me and told me if I didn't co-host with her,
I feel your pain.
She was coming after me.
Yeah, there's
somehow
a little PTSD going on right now. Yeah,
100%. Guys, sometimes
it's PTHD, post traumatic heel.
Sometimes you got to get the job done. You know?
I agree.
So
sweet wine lovers unite over here.
Yeah,
right now that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Before we talk about the wine, though, I want to introduce you, and then you can talk about the wine. Because
maybe it's better if people don't know who I am.
This is not going to be an anonymous episode.
Why?
So we are sitting in the studio tonight with Scott McFarlane, who is a native, a Southwest Michigan native, who also happens to work at a financial institution called Honor Credit Union. You work there, right?
I do.
You do
it's
some stuff.
Lightly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes. I've been known to work there for about 11 years.
About 11 years now.
I need to correct you, though. I'm not a native. I'm a transplant.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You are a transplant. It feels like you're a native because of the Berrien Springs connections.
I want to be a native.
Well, so, I mean,
my kids are all natives.
Yeah.
They're all local now. So
that's right.
So where are you originally coming from?
I originally grew up in Vassar, Michigan, up by Frankenmuth.
Oh, okay.
So I was up in the Thumb area.
Yeah.
And a job brought me down here, and I've stayed ever since. My brother and sister both went to Hope College.
Okay.
And we got a chance to visit them a few times, and my dad was like, "Okay, well, if you two want to live, my wife and I, Beth," he's like, "Where would you want to live? You ever lived anywhere?" So we were, at the time we got married, and we lived in Fenton, Michigan. Mm-hmm. She drove an hour to Ann Arbor. I drove an hour to Saginaw. I worked in Flint for a little while. So I've been in credit unions ever since like my junior year of high school or junior year of college, excuse me. And we're like, you know, the West Side would be cool. And ironically, things had kind of stopped moving at the credit union I was at in Flint. So I moved to a CEO position in Saginaw for a little while. And then the credit union down here in the West Side called. And I sent my resume to Buchanan.
All good things happen there.
I was like, it's time for something different.
Metropolis of Buchanan.
Incubator of creativity and intelligence.
I knew there was something coming after I said that. Saying.
Angie, I can't verify how many bottles she had before I walked in, but
hey man, I only speak the truth.
The truth. It is the truth. In this little world, it's the truth tonight. We'll go with it. Ironically, sent my resume there and to a credit union down in Buchanan who had their headquarters there at the time. Went home and told Beth, I said, hey, I sent my resume out. It's a VP position, should be. She said, where? I said, Buchanan. I have no idea where that is. So we pulled out a map in Fenton, Michigan in our kitchen and went, whoa, where is that? That's like way over on the West Side. Mm-hmm. So we accomplished our task kind of by accident.
Yeah.
And came down here. I interviewed in November. So there were no leaves on the trees. Mm-hmm. It was a snowstorm and it was cold.
So it was exactly where you wanted to be.
I was like, gosh, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. God had big plans and came down and worked in Buchanan for about 9 years. And then that credit union merged with another one. And I was on for a little while and then moved on to what is now Honor. So
very nice. And now here you sit.
And now here I sit.
Drinking wine with one of your team members.
I didn't know I was highly sought after.
You do.
Drinking wine with one of my team members, correct.
You didn't know before and now you know.
Now I know. Yeah. I know. I'll try not to let that go to my head. So trust me, I have lots of opportunities in my life to stay humble. So we've been in Michigan's Great Southwest for since 1998. So I guess I can be an adopted native now. I wouldn't, God willing, we'll never have to leave because this is an amazing part of the state and really enjoy it. Really love it a lot. There's just nothing like the beaches, which aren't very far from here.
Yeah.
The beaches, the wineries, it's a little, I like the pace of life here a little bit better. So, Frankenmuth in that area is a nice area, but it's very automotive driven. And this is, it's a better feel. It's a cool feel. So it's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. Yes. And I get to work with cool people. There's your plug.
Is that all I get?
Stacy.
So we'll get to those stories here in just a moment. But let's give a plug to the wine that we're talking about, too, because we have two different wine bottles sitting on the table. And that's because there are two different palettes sitting around the table. So let's start with a more refined palette. So,
boo. Sorry, guys.
Is that not a proper introduction?
Did that come out of my mouth? My apologies.
You know I say things for effect. You're out. You know I say things for
effect. You're outnumbered tonight, Stace. This is 2 weeks in a row. So you go for it. You and your refined palette.
I am going to blow it out of the water.
She calls it refined and I call it snobby. So
it's totally snobby. I own it. Okay, can I get my... I really can't drink sweet wine for medical reasons.
No.
So no, that doesn't count. That doesn't matter. Count. I actually don't even like the taste of sweet wine. I know you don't. So it's whatever. So this is a 2016 Chardonnay from Chacon Vineyard and Winery. And the reason why it's so cool is because it's in the Leelanau Peninsula. So it's one of the bottles of wine that I picked up on my Traverse City tour up there. And this winery is actually owned by Madonna's father. Because Madonna is originally from Michigan. Her father owns a winery up there. It's a beautiful winery. When I was there doing the tasting, the ladies behind the bar were fantastic. They had some live music playing. And she sold me on this one because she said, it is a buttery oat Chardonnay. And I was like, say no more. Those are my favorite things. So
I mean, I like buttery, but not Chardonnay.
Have you tried it?
No, because I have plenty of sweet wine over here that will be much better.
Okay, that's... But if you ever get a chance to go visit Chacon Winery, you should.
But for all you dry wine lovers, I'm sure it's amazing.
It is. It's pretty amazing. So we're going to travel down the coast. And Scott did have a glass of this Chardonnay. But now he is, we've traveled down the coast and now we are, believe it or not, actually in Buchanan for our next winery. So talk a little bit about what you're drinking tonight.
We're drinking a Tabor Hill Moscato. And you really can't go wrong. So I'm thinking this is a great way to usher in summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And boating and beaches and
live music,
all that good stuff that comes with it. So it's
patio day drinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And Tabor Hill does it right. So
they've really done it right. We were introduced to this. Yes. We were introduced to Tabor Hill when we first moved here. Mm-hmm. We actually do our anniversaries out there. Aww. So it's really a nice place to be. And the wine is excellent. And, atmosphere is excellent. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Appreciate the fact that you did the Moscato. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. And they have some great stuff out there. The cherry Moscato, if you haven't tasted it, is
it's really good.
Addictive.
It very much is.
But I have learned. I'm learning. I've done some pairings. I've done some things. I'm learning that I can do. Expand. I like some of the dries. Uh-huh. I like the rosés.
Don't let them take you to the dark side. Please don't. I'm just saying.
When people pour me a glass of wine, I'm tended to be one that just drinks it.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right.
I think you asked me, like, what kind of wine do you like? Dry?
Sweet? Yes. The answer is just yes. Yeah.
That's how we answer. Yes.
And you guys, I'm not going to lie. So tonight I walked into the studio anticipating not drinking at all. I pulled something out of the refrigerator instead and poured it. And now, quite frankly, because I love Tabor Hill and I love Moscato, I'm going to pour myself another glass.
There you go. So, there you go. Well, it is a Tuesday. So
you pulled me in.
You're allowed. But I'm
only
a pusher.
Only a little bit.
Only a little bit. That's right. So shout out to the crew at Tabor Hill. Their team is fantastic. And they always do just an amazing job. And I appreciate and enjoy every time I visit their beautiful winery.
Yes.
So, yeah. All right. Well, then let's jump into it, shall we?
Let's.
So we know that currently you are the CEO of Honor Credit Union. What does that mean to you to be a CEO of a credit union?
Good question. It's funny because I was thinking about what hard questions is Stacy going to ask?
I know, because I didn't prep you at all.
I didn't meet Angie until just now, so I had to listen to a bunch of
podcasts. We go way back.
Way back all the way to
like
Brandywine.
3 minutes ago.
Yeah. You know, there was a time when I got into the business, and just a brief, very brief history.
Yeah.
The funny story is, and I think you've heard this, I tell everybody who comes in, is my mom got me my job in the credit union industry. She got a call. I was in Vassar home between my junior and senior year of college, and the branch manager called and said, "Hey, do any of your kids need a job?" And I was a short order cook in Frankenmuth making authentic German food, which means dip the brats from Gordon's into the deep fryer and serve them to people. It wasn't a lot of fun. It wasn't the most authentic restaurant. I always wanted to own a restaurant, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to anymore. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, they said I could do part-time at the credit union. They needed a floating teller, and they had 6 offices between Flint and Vassar, my hometown. One was right up the road. So I took the opportunity to become a floating teller and worked at four of the six offices during that summer. I was only supposed to get 20 hours. I never had less than 40 because once they found out they had somebody who could fill in for summer vacations.
Sure.
Yeah. Perfect. You were in. I was the gopher.
Uh-huh. For sure.
So I learned a lot and actually graduated in December from college and called and said, "Hey, I've got a semester to not do anything. Can I just come back and work a little bit?" And they said, "Hey, we got a little, why don't you come talk to us?" So I went back to Flint, did an interview, and the connection there, and it's something that I've coined as equity connections. The connection there is my dad was the plant manager of a foundry in town in Vassar, Michigan. And the credit union's original founding was that foundry's credit union. So he knew people. I knew the people that he knew. And they said, "Well, the branch manager that you worked for in Vassar, unfortunately, she made some bad choices and she's not here any longer. How'd you like to be a branch manager?"
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a very interesting opportunity. So I took it, lived at home. So yeah, I graduated from college, moved back home, mowed the lawn, took care of things around with my mom and dad. And they were happy to have me. It was about a half mile up the road from the credit union. And Went there, worked there for 5 years, became the lending manager, and then, you know, things kind of stopped. So I applied to a couple positions. One was the CEO in Saginaw, and one was down here in Buchanan. And the CEO in Saginaw opened up sooner. Unfortunately, that had some challenges to it. I learned a lot in 6 months, but it wasn't the opportunities there weren't going to be as much as I thought they were. So This gave us an opportunity to come down. My wife, I tell everybody I married way up. My wife, Beth, I got lucky because she was an exercise physiologist, still is, ran a cardiac rehab program in Ann Arbor. And if we moved, it was going to be like, okay, we had a 4-month-old. There wasn't any jobs down here for her. So it was kind of like a career move for me. And she was willing to follow along to chase some crazy dreams. So came down here. And during that time, when I came down here and got the job down here, I left the place in Saginaw. It was unique because I was given an opportunity to do some, they call it, it's Credit Union National Association is CUNA. And they have a management school. So it's like a credit union, a school to teach you credit union stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had started before I left the credit union in Flint, and I finished when I came here. When I was there, I got a chance to get some exposure, some really cool people. And you meet all kinds of people through your career and through your life. And some of them you're like, oh my gosh, you're going to kill me. You don't realize that that is an opportunity for you to learn, and you relate back to that. And those are the lists you make along the way. Like, I wouldn't do it this way. I might do it this way. I had a chance to meet some really cool people. It's a 3-year school. You go two weeks during the summer. It's a 3-year school. And while I was there, I was like, someday I want to play the big game. By the time I was done by my 3rd year, I was like, I want to play the big game. And some were like, well, what do you mean the big game? I said, I want to be a CEO. They said, that's not a game. That's a very important job. I said, well, I think it's a game. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a balancing act. I've always kind of looked at it from that side. And the days that it doesn't feel like a game are the days I kind of go, okay, do I want to keep doing this? I really do believe you have to have fun in what you're doing in life, because life's really, really, really short when you think about it. And if you're not having fun, not enjoying it, it's sad. Mm-hmm. So we preach that a lot. We have a lot of people, I think, that have fun at what we do. Being the CEO means, I always say, it's kind of like being the head coach at on a football, basketball, soccer, you name it. The team does well, then the team gets the credit. And the team doesn't do well, the coach is terrible. So it's kind of one of those things where you go, okay, it's interesting. And I was really, I mean, the opportunity that I got to work with Honor, I had known the CEO before me. I'd known him for 10 years. One of my mentors at the other creating that I worked for years, coached me up, was very driven, in all the good ways, challenged and had very clear expectations. But the thing that he did that was one of the most valuable things, and his name's Dwayne Nelson, he introduced me to everybody that like could breathe. So he was a very strong networker. He had a lot of friends. He met a lot of people in the industry, and he really knew the value of a personal relationship. And no matter where you went with him, he made sure that he introduced you to who those people were, and a lot of those people are still my friends today and my peers and my colleagues. And that's a good network to have.
Yeah.
So, being the CEO, I'm enjoying the opportunity to be the head coach of a really unique and special, organization that has a lot of special people working for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful as the CEO. So when you say, what's it feel like or what's it like? I'm thankful and humbled by just the amazing things that people do around me every day. So it's a lot of fun.
So I want to backtrack just a little bit. You mentioned your Saginaw opportunity that was a very short-lived, right?
Yep.
So I feel like a lot of hustlers and maybe some, you know, a lot of us have gone through points in our life where, you know, we've sort of jumped at things that we thought were going to be these huge opportunities, and maybe they weren't in the way that we expected them to be. And it can become sort of deflating, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you sort of have this vision of, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and I am going to get to X, Y, and Z in this amount of time, and this is how I'm going to do it.
Yep.
And then when you take this opportunity and it doesn't pan out to be what you think it's supposed to be, that's kind of a tough setback.
It is. It was one of the hardest conversations I've ever had. Yeah. So The good thing was, it was my choice. So they didn't say goodbye to me. I got a call from the credit union down here saying, hey, I had applied to both places at the same time. One just moved faster than the other. Mm. It was a very hard conversation to have with the board chair because they had basically said, we believe in you. You're going to carry us forward. And the credit union is successful today. I learned more in 6 months at that credit union than I learned in 4 years of college. Because it was, I mean, it was baptism by fire. They had had some challenges and frankly, some things that the board wasn't even aware of because the CEO controlled everything. And she had retired on a disability. They just didn't really know what they were into. We corrected a lot of things in a very short period of time. But it was readily apparent, like you said, oh gosh, the steps that my predecessor had taken here, the things she had put in place, kind of set the path for what that organization was going to be for the next many, 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 many years.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because mm-hmm. it deserved a lot better. A lot sure. of great people there. But yeah, when you find things like, oh my gosh, and you go to the board and like, did you guys know about this? No, we didn't know about that. I'm like, oh, you should have known about this.
Did it provide a lot of examples of, or, you know, of what you didn't want to do? Is it, yes. does it fall into that yes. category?
Yeah.
You know, because as you talked about, like, you can have two different types of lessons, right?
Yes.
What sure. you should do and what you don't want to repeat.
So one of my rules is no surprises. Mm-hmm. One of my leadership rules is like, okay, don't surprise me. If you're going to surprise me with cake or wine or a trip or something free, feel free. I'm good with that. But if it's something that I need to be in the know of or we need to know, then let's not keep that a secret.
Yeah.
And there were some surprises there that they just didn't know about. It wasn't anything intentional. They just didn't know about them. So it was a setback and it really kind of, you know what? That goes on your resume for the rest of your yeah. career. And I got asked many times, like, 6 months? Really? Why? Because mm-hmm. I tell people, mm-hmm. I have been turned down for more CEO positions than I got.
Right.
Because I would apply and I knew that I wanted that opportunity. And there's a lot that I didn't get. But I think that's a good thing to know. When you talk about hustling, if you aren't being told no,
you're doing something wrong.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah. Right.
You're just not doing anything. I mean, I tell my kids and it's – so I am blessed with a 21-year-old, a 21-year-old son, a 19-year-old daughter, a 16-year-old son, and a 12-year-old son. I'm blessed because, you know, Beth had them, for God's sakes. There would be no children if it was up to men because we couldn't handle the pain.
No.
Or the 9 months or anything.
It's not the flu or cold.
No,
right.
No, not even close. but it gives you a perspective through some different eyes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've said to them is if you're not told no, you might not be asking enough. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with our team. I mean, challenge it. And does it make you uncomfortable? Yeah, I get uncomfortable a lot. Stacy makes me very, no, I'm just, no, Stacy, no, Stacy. No, Stacy.
But I mean, you know, you say that, and I think about a lot of millennials that, you know, there is a lot of talk about how millennials flit from job to job to job, job to job. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing personally. I mean, I've personally done it. I've had a plethora of jobs in past lives. I've done a lot of things, but you know, for those specific instances, when there are things that you identify and you're like, I have a career path for me. And if something isn't meeting that, then if it's 6 months in and you identify that and there's an opportunity to move somewhere that will advance you, I just don't think that there's a problem. And so, you know, from a hustler standpoint or something like that, anybody who's second guessing, maybe, you know, taking that job because you've only been in a position for 3 months or 6 months or whatever, you know, go for it because it's still an opportunity. You can still learn things from in a very short period of time and grow yourself to prepare yourself for the next move.
Absolutely. I mean, so the mentor I talked about, Dwayne Nelson, he was the CEO at the credit union I was at. And I mean, he knew I wanted to be a CEO someday. And he knew he wasn't going anywhere. So he would put like ads on my desk, like, here's an opportunity. At one point, I'm like, do you want me to go? He's like, yeah, is it too
is it that obvious?
But I went on interviews and I applied to positions because he made me aware of them and he'd give me a heads up. It's not, and he's one of the few individuals that I've worked with that, I mean, there were four people that worked for him that became CEO somewhere else. And that's a big deal. That's not very common. The other opportunity I had is after we went through a merger is I had a chance to work with somebody at the other credit union. His name was Dave Wyhan, and he was a very strong man of faith. And that's where I come from. That's my grounding. And, that kind of turned some things too in another perspective of like, okay, and I don't want to get, but you kind of do because that's where I come from. I mean, no, you've heard it. It's faith, family, freedom. That's where I come from. So, I believe God has a greater plan than I do. I don't know that that was always where I came from. When I say audience of one, and if I post things online, people will see it's hashtag audience of one. We tell our kids, you can, in the end, there's only one great reward. And, it doesn't have to do with how much money you have or how many cars you have or how many houses you have or how good you are. It really comes down to, where are you grounded and who are you following? So, that I've learned as I've matured and, but that was an individual that when you might say, okay, why? Well, when you look at leaders out there in the world, for me, that was, you know, Christ was, he's like the number one leader. He made the greatest sacrifice. He did the biggest thing. And so when it's an audience of one, for me, that's my standard. I don't push on anybody else. I went to a speaker one time and he spoke in front of my kid's school and he says, too many times Christians are judges and we are not qualified to judge. We are only qualified to witness. He says, so I won't judge, but I will witness. And, that was something that I learned from another great leader at another credit union. Now, unfortunately he passed away, so didn't get to learn as much as I could from him. But even the little bit that he did share was very valuable and try to pass it on to the kids, and to others to some extent, because I believe it's a good, you have to have some priorities in your life. Cause if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the millennials, I don't know that the millennials are all that much different. I think they're in a very different world. It's very small.
Yes.
It's very small.
And social media,
the people that impact you. So how you establish self-worth, if it's coming through the device in your pocket that's connected to one of the major carriers, you're probably going to be really sad somewhere along the way. But if it's grounded in the basis of like, hey, God doesn't make mistakes, so I'm good. Then I think that gives you some grounding and some basis to work off of. So,
which is tough to believe sometimes. Agreed. Right? I mean, you said it yourself, you sort of reached that point once you matured. So sometimes it takes a little testing.
It does.
It takes a while to be able to get there. So when you're young and you're in the social media world that is today, it is super hard to be able to follow words like that or believe, not even words, but to believe those things.
Yep. It's the believing the unbelievable.
Sure.
And these days it's difficult because you see all the things you see all the reports and you see all the studies and you see all these countries that have these struggles, but yet the people tend to be happier than the ones in the country that has everything. Our kids, I'm sure, I mean, you question things all the time. That's our human nature. But if you really, for me, if I really step back and listen and find some of that quiet space, that's where, if you keep the priority straight, I think for me, that's what helps. So the no surprises, the jumping to other place, taking those risks. I guess my challenge would be to people is why not?
Right.
Faith, family, freedom. This country is an amazing place because you have the opportunity to do pretty much whatever you want to try, but you have to be willing to try. And I think the biggest challenge is teaching people to take a risk, take a chance. It's okay. If you're not told no once in a while, you're probably not doing enough or not trying anything. But, and some risks, skydiving, I'm not there yet. I do like to jump off big rocks into water.
Yeah.
I do like to do that. I've done that a couple places now and, that is a rush.
We do still have one more location where that has to happen. You realize that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I mean, so we took a trip to the UP.
Pictured rocks?
No, Black Rocks and Marquette.
Black Rock and Marquette.
Okay. Yeah, we took a trip there last summer to visit the locations up there and visit our team up there. And
I've heard this
story. Yeah, and so, okay. And, you know, so we, Scott and I and a couple other of our team members, we jumped off Black Rocks into Lake Superior.
Twice.
Yes, twice, because we didn't get the first one on video, and our job is social media, so.
Can I take a guess? Was this Stacy's idea?
I think it was Stacy's idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then we were at this other location, Little Presqu'île, and it was Scott and I and another team member, Jen, and I thought it was a perfect opportunity because this is supposed to be the real place you're supposed to jump off. Like if you're really like
dedicated,
mm-hmm. you're supposed to wade out. You have to go through the water, wade out, then climb up and then jump off of that.
It's a 200-yard wading space between the island and the beach.
You're talking to a woman who wants to jump out of an airplane.
I know. You wouldn't have any trouble with it. I'm sure.
Yeah. I thought it was a perfect opportunity. I neglected, you know, the whole like rational part of we didn't have, it was cold.
It was raining, it was cold, we were clothed, we weren't preparing for.
And we didn't have towels or anything.
This ain't your practice life, right?
This ain't your practice life. So the next time, you only get to live once, you get one at bat. The next time we are up visiting those locations, that's happening.
Yeah, Stacy already has her car packed for this, so she's got towels in there.
Right I'm after aware. This recording.
Totally prepared that at any point in time when you guys go
fully
up
aware.
There,
right.
it will already right. be packed.
That whole being told no thing, she doesn't like it
she
very
doesn't.
Much.
She doesn't. I know.
I'd well, but I do ask a lot. See, that, yeah, I mean.
You do.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not really afraid of the no word.
No,
or the asking
you're
part.
Persistent.
That's
you're a problem solver.
That's it.
There we go.
I'll take that. Yeah, that's it.
You're a problem solver. If somebody says no, you ask why. They provide you the reason, and you provide a solution. Right.
Right. That's exactly what happens. Mm-hmm.
This is why you love me.
I'm sure that's how many people view my role. So I want to go back, though, to the faith, family, freedom part, because that's one of the first things I ever heard you say. I want to know, when you talk about this took a little bit for you to mature, to think about it in that lens, can you pinpoint the time? Or when did that hit you that that's the lens that you needed to view everything from and that that could also kind of go into your professional life?
So in a roundabout way, when we are quote unquote born again, I was raised in the church, the Catholic Church. So I've always had that component.
Yeah.
That's very structured and it's very deliberate and it's old. I mean, it's Catholic Church considers itself the church. So I've always had the God component in my life. I think probably the most relevant was when my mom got cancer. Mm-hmm. That was one. My wife has a very, very strong faith, a very real, raw, core faith. And I think that that's been a big part of it. But probably part of it was when the connection with the CEO at that other credit union. Mm-hmm. When he passed away, there was a demonstration. His funeral is a memorable moment where it was very clear to me, his family, I mean, they were based on the fact that they knew where he was, they knew what their future was, and they knew where things were going. And it's a connection that I made, and he had demonstrated that in a very subtle way.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to do that the same. Nobody should ever feel pressured.
Nope. And they don't with you.
But,
I feel the same.
But in the same sense, I think that, I mean, there was one great task when I feel like I'm getting all religious on you, but when Christ left, he said, go and make disciples. That's mm-hmm. what he said. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I believe that that is an important part of it. Mm-hmm. I do believe that's the path to heaven. And I believe that this earth is just a trial period and there's some amazing things beyond that. Mm-hmm. I looked forward to seeing my mom again. And so at that point I started reading more. I started doing more. I've read a number of books, The Barbarian Way, and a great book for your hustlers, and it's not necessarily it's written by a pastor in California, but it's a very real book. It's called Wide Awake, and basically it talks about Raphael McManus, I believe, is the author, and he's written a number of books. But it kind of talks about what is God's calling in your life? Where mm-hmm. are you? And does he have you in a place and a purpose? Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's important for, it's interesting because what I find is that women tend to have a more close relationship. They develop a close relationship with God. Men have a tougher time doing it, but I think men have a tougher time with that personal relationship to begin with. But one of my favorite books I've written, and it's actually a business book. You'll find it in the business section. It's called Jesus CEO. And the other one is Jesus Wears Blue Jeans. Too many times the church makes it high and mighty and fluffy. And this is a guy that lived, that's not where you would have found him. Mm-hmm. So I listen to a lot of Christian music and a lot of Christian contemporary music and speakers, and I mix it. I mean, I'm a big AC/DC fan. I'm a big Journey fan. I love Tim McGraw. But all of that is he was with the people that so many times we look down upon. Mm-hmm. And, that's the grounding for it is I think that it's just a true love. When you've heard me say, you got to love on people. Mm-hmm. And, one of the basic rules is, and, too many times religion gets put in a camp, a Republican or a Democrat camp, and it's non-denominational, and really it's really about the greater good for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, from my side, it's his teachings that, you know, treat people you want to be treated. And there's so many key basic moral standards in his book that when I delved into it more and I read more and I learned more, and there's a real, like I said, very raw part to it. Mm-hmm. That's the part of it. So I don't consider myself, I don't have a denomination. I'm just, I call myself a Jesus freak, and that's it. I mean, that's it. And that's where I base my, I pray a lot. I rely on that a lot. And, the story of the burning bush in Moses, I believe that only he could see that burning bush, and we all have burning bushes in our life. And where are those? If you're not paying attention, he was called to be and listen to that at that time. And where are those burning bushes in your life? And what's God calling you to do? And are you paying attention? So that's it. I mean, that's just my basis.
Yeah, no, I like that. And there's a reason I asked you that, because you are by title and by nature, and you talk openly about this, you consider yourself to be a servant leader. Mm-hmm. Right. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, I think that that's where that comes from, right?
It does. Yeah. I think one of the greatest contributions we can make is to serve others. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, that fills my cup. And through my whole career, through my life, I mean, I'm humbled by how amazing people are. Now, there's some jerks out there too. But I think in the end, it's amazing that if you allow people, if you can serve others, it just raises in my world. That's where I get that's what fills my cup is the opportunity to serve others and do things for others, see what nobody else sees and do what nobody else is doing when nobody's looking, and do the right thing. So, it's one of those, I can't imagine doing it a different way. I've worked with people that, and I know people that are very, focused. I just think it's not as much fun to be focused on yourself because you can learn so much from so many people. It drives my kids nuts. Like, how many people are you going to talk to? I'm like, well, you get to learn people and you figure out where they're from and what mm-hmm. they're doing and what their life's all about. So from
everybody
that perspective,
has a story, right?
Everybody has a story. Yeah, mm-hmm. they do. Mm-hmm. And honestly, based on what I talked about it, I think that there's a value to every human being. And too many times we can look past that.
You know, I love that you're foraying into religion a little bit. It's something we haven't done. And it's not a bad thing by any means. I don't ascribe to a religion. I call myself spiritual. Mm-hmm. Part of that is because at a very young age, I was raised Catholic and went to the catechism and all of the things. But then, when my mom and dad split, I ended up going to like Sunday school from a Christian perspective. And they were just different enough to sort of turn me off to religion
mm-hmm.
in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the word religion, I cringe at mm-hmm. because it evokes these different emotions yep. in me. It feels very personally, it feels very man-made and those sorts of things. And I think that it's just, you know, it's a very personal relationship for each person. But you've touched on a lot of things that I think that even for those people who don't necessarily call themselves religious, at the end of the day, if you, I mean, everybody's looking for their place and purpose, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be about religion to do that in your specific mind, right? As a personal goal, I want to find my place and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you start to feel good and serving others as well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like that isn't necessarily about religion. That's just about being a decent human to some extent.
Right.
Right? You know, so I love that we're going down that path because there are so many people that it will resonate with, and it certainly has resonated with me. But even those who sort of hear religion and cringe and want to turn away from it, I think there are still lessons to be pulled out of the things that you just said. As a servant leader, doesn't necessarily mean you have to be religious to do that.
No, for me, and here's the thing, is I think religion is the biggest enemy of faith, mm-hmm. and at times, because religion is man-made and faith and relationship is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that faith and that spiritual connection is through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's it. That's the end all and be all. You hear all the arguments, the Bible's written by a bunch of old men and da 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 da. Well, if it's truly inspired word, and it's hard. I mean, is that hard to believe? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Does the world say that's nuts? I mean, I have friends that are atheists. I have friends that are agnostic. I have friends that are, and it's a conversation that we've had, and I enjoy it. I think part of it is having that conversation. But am I a Jesus freak? Do I think that he's the end all and be all? Yeah, I do. And part of it is because of the documented thing. I mean, the prostitutes, the tax people, the bad people that he connected with and brought along. That for me was, and it's ironic. I mean, here we are a couple days after Easter, the holiday of Christianity. Because I mean, how does a guy, he was crucified and he raised him again, you know, in, I was raised Catholic, and sometimes religion is the fastest thing to turn you away from faith. The things I've read and the things I've done and the people I've connected with. I mean, I have some very close friends that are pastors and that you wouldn't know they were a pastor until they told you, because they're real and they're raw and they tell you about the struggles in their life. The religion part is the people that want you to see them in their fancy outfits and think that they're perfect.
Or looking to pull you to their side.
Or look, and that's it's a political
religion. You believe what they do.
It's political. It can mm-hmm. be political. So, yeah. I don't subscribe to a religion anymore. I subscribe to faith. There's a lot of things in my life that I believe in that I can't see. I believe right now I'm breathing oxygen, but I can't see it. Is there a scientific? Yeah, sure there is. There's all kinds of scientific aspects to it, but for me, that's my basis. That's my peace. That's where I am. And like I tell people at work, those are my priorities, and I need those to be in order. And when they're not, things fall out of line.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have family and I can't have freedom without that number one. And those are just my top priorities. So yeah, it's a challenge in today's world. It can be very adversarial. But I think that the unique opportunity is the chance to talk about it and have an opportunity to discuss it. And for me, that's where I pull my leadership and my hustle, is I know that I truly, truly, I mean that into my core, God does have a plan. I always, the kids will be like, well, why is this happening? I'm like, I don't know. Why does God let bad things happen? Well, we guaranteed ourselves free will many, 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 many years ago as the human creature. And some of that just comes with free will. And you look at that and you go, oh, he can stop it all. He can. He can, but that's not part of the deal these days for us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the opportunity to serve, I think that like I said, there's some point in time you have to have a basic premise. And sure. Where are we going to drive that from? Where does that come from?
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, just from my perspective, working on the team, you know, one of my very first introductions to you, you know, you do put that out there, but not in a way of judgment. So I want to offer that reflection. You know, when you talk about, I loved this, you know, at one of the first times I was there, you said, look, faith, family, freedom, and work is a very distant fourth, like a very distant fourth. And that was kind of one of my introductions to you. And I was like, this, you know, this guy knows what his priorities are. And I think that a leader does, right? A mm-hmm. leader has principles that they stand upon and that are unchanged because that's what makes them. And that speaks to an integrity, obviously. So I appreciate that from an outsider's perspective and both an insider's perspective, because I think that allows people who see you as a leader to see you as also genuine, because you're willing to put that out there. You're willing to talk about that, and you are willing to love on people. And that does come from your faith, you know? So I think all of those things combined really speak to who you are as a person. And that's why I think that you have so many people who look to you for Thanks. Leadership.
Thanks. It also sounds like you extend those things to your team too. And I think that that's a huge point. I think that there are a lot of leaders that perhaps have those feelings for themselves, but when it comes down to it from a business perspective, don't necessarily extend it to their entire team. And sometimes that's where it falls.
It's very easy to be overtaken by title. And mm-hmm. I've worked with people that have been overtaken by title, and that's what they get stuck on, or overtaken by something great they've done, and ego is pride before the fall, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's biblical, pride before the fall. And don't get me wrong. I think Stacy mm-hmm. would agree with this is, part of that basis is that, you know, if you read and you study, Christ called people out. I mean, he called the bad guys out, and that doesn't mean that you don't hold people accountable. It doesn't mean that you're like, oh, butterflies and unicorns for everybody. There's still a part that you know, there's a responsibility as a leader that you still have to do your job, and that's part of it. And that's a cool tagline I picked up recently, or a little bit that I picked up recently when my son was visiting colleges. He plays football, and the coach that he's playing for now, but one of the first things he said when we all met, when we went for a visit, was he said, one of my rules is, if I tell you the truth, can we still be friends? And
I have that written down, so I'm so glad you're talking about it, because that's one of my favorite things, and I steal that from you now. I say that all the time.
So I'll give credit on the podcast to Coach Abs at Trine University.
All right.
That is one of his rules, and he has lived by that rule. He does live by that rule. If I tell you the truth, can we still be friends? Too many times today, people want to take it personally, and they mm-hmm. want to take it as a personal attack. I personally, it's hard. It's hard to hear the truth sometimes. It's not what you want to hear. But in the end, it's really the right thing to do, and how you tell the truth. It's not like, well, you don't start out as like, you're stupid, you're a moron. You tell the truth like, hey, I'm telling you this because I care. I might be wrong, but let's at least talk about it. But in the end, let's get it out there. And I think that's something that I've learned. That was a new learning. I like that. I think it's an accountability. It's an open the door for a conversation, to have a transformative conversation, not a caustic, abusive conversation, but have a transformative conversation. By the time we're done, we might both learn a little something, but I want to make sure that I'm doing it under the pretenses that it's for both of us to improve, or for you to hear where I'm coming from, not because I want to attack or
mm-hmm. or what happens punish. If they say no? We can't still be friends.
If they say no, then you got to wonder how open that individual is to improvement. Mm-hmm. They have to be. You have to have a relationship with them. So it is. It's relationship before rules. You know, it's that old coaching adage. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So I think you have to have established a relationship with them so they understand that you do care about their greater good, that you do care, that you're trying. And I think that's the goal of a leader is this is a head coach. He sits people. You might play one play and then you might not sit again. Or you're a senior and there's a freshman playing in front of you. The truth is he's faster, he's bigger, he's stronger. I didn't want to hear that. Whether you wanted to hear it or not, that's what is happening right now. Well, how do I get better? Sometimes it's like, well, I don't know if you can overcome that, but you can work this much harder. You can put more time in the weight room. You can do those things. The people that would say no, I'd be concerned about their ability to grow professionally and personally. I think you have to be open to that type of challenge. And I expect the same thing in return. So I think people would come to me and it's harder sometimes. I've learned that. When you have a title, that title carries amplification, whether you scream and holler and yell, there's amplify because of a title. Mm-hmm. I hate that. I'm not a fan, but I can't control it.
Sure.
So sometimes there are people in our organization that will come right up and said, that was dumb. I don't know why you did it that way. And I'm like, okay, tell me more.
I think you've set the tone though to, a lot of places talk about open door policy or, if you're not hearing no, you're not asking enough. People may say that, but I really think that you do set the tone for that. And I think that I know there are instances, where people feel like they can come to you, even though it says CEO behind your name, Chief Epic Officer,
right.
as named by a third grader.
Inelegant.
I think that you have cultivated an environment because of the idea of you can tell me the truth, but make it come from a place of good intent and make it come from a place of love because we all want to drive this ship forward together, right?
Make it personal.
Right.
Don't make it. If you make it personal, then we'll have a discussion.
Right.
And it won't be friendly and it won't be fun and you're going to feel the pain of that being personal because I won't make it personal for you. And if I ever do, I should feel the pain coming back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. You guys know that you're out there, you have lots of experiences and you share them on a weekly basis, which is great. If you're out there and you're participating in life, like I think it was the last podcast you talked about how when you put yourself out there, you're opening yourself up for attack. You're opening yourself up. I mean, you're opening yourself up for critiques. You're opening, but in the same sense, those people that are doing the critiquing, will they open themselves up too? Do they want to have a discussion? Or do they just want to take a shot? I mean, it's very simple in today's world of social media and public and postings, and everybody thinks they're the expert in everything. And sometimes it's just, sometimes you just got to let people be and negative and positive. I think that it's important to consider who's filling your cup. Mm-hmm. And if it's filled with acidic, then you probably need to distance yourself. I mean, do you really want to take that in?
Yeah.
So it's a little more challenging today because you get it from everywhere. I see that with my kids. I'm sure you've seen it yourselves with this. I'm sure you get some feedback like, maybe you don't. I don't know.
Lady called me snooty.
That's because of the wine you drink.
No.
That was before you. It's because of the wine you drink. So...
I was probably wearing camel Crocs in the studio that night. Isn't there a balance? I don't know.
Probably were.
You have to consider whose opinions you're going to listen to.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because it is just an opinion, and there is that theory that while your opinion is interesting, it is irrelevant to me. I'll take that into consideration.
Yeah. Do you experience that as the leader of a successful and growing institution?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you get it all the time because the institution has changed a lot since I came on board. And I mean, it's not uncommon to hear people say how wonderful it used to be and how great it used to be. And boy, I really liked it when it was this. And gosh, I wish it was that again. So that's part of the, it's part of the deal. But
how do you handle that? What do you say?
Thanks. It was a great time at that time, but times change. If you're not moving forward, you're sliding back. Those are your two choices.
That's also really tough for people who are new coming on to here. I remember at my last position, the last place I was at, I came on to a growing team, and often we would hear about how things were when it was a 10-person team or a 15-person team, and all, you know, this was so great. Why can't it be this again? And this is so great. And it's sort of, it's tough. It makes you feel like an outsider, as opposed to creating a team environment where you all want to move forward together. That's tough.
It's very challenging. But I think that's what you sign up for to some extent. I mean, so I was blessed because I have a board of directors that was and when I came on has continued to be very progressive. They're like, we want to grow. We want to do new things. We want to serve more people. We want to be in the game. And to be in the game today, you have to continue to grow and do new things. Because the market's changing rapidly, people need different things, and just how you talk to people these days is different than in the past, because finances continue to change. And I mean, let's face it, it's a challenging thing. It's become one of those taboo subjects. You just don't talk to people about their money. The one guy that does talk about is one of the most successful speakers and podcasters and YouTubers in the world.
Dave Ramsey.
Yep.
I'm a big follower.
Well, you cash is king. It is that way. And I believe you should pay your loans off fast. And I think you should we do that. We believe in that. We preach that. We have more people making. So here's a tip for all those people hustling. Make half a payment every 2 weeks. Stop making your monthly payment. Don't stop it. Make half a payment every 2 weeks. So you don't have a big bill at the end of the month and you pay it off faster. Do those creative things, have some cash on hand, have that put away. His advice is good. There's no question about it. And there's an article in Money Magazine right now on how millennials are flocking to Dave Ramsey. And he talks about all the things that you're not supposed to say. So he's conservative, he's religious, and he calls you a moron and a snowflake. And those are all the things you're not allowed to say, and you offend people, but people are flocking to him because in the end, if you don't take ownership of what you're doing with your life, if you're not hustling for yourself, then shame on you.
You have to own your choices.
You have to own your choices. Mm-hmm. And sometimes to own things, you have to have a little bit of a guide.
Yeah.
And he's providing that guide. We try to provide that guide. I think that's been part of our success is we've shown people that. I think there's a lot more to do. There's a lot of people that are still struggling. And that hurts me. I mean, when people in a country of abundance beyond all recognition, I tell my kids, there's nothing in short supply in America other than common sense.
And patience.
But common sense is even, yes. Common sense is even more dangerous. Yes. Angie's very patient. She spent 2 hours at the Apple store.
Yes, she is very patient. So was my 10-year-old son who spent 6 hours in a hunting blind with me yesterday.
They all tried patience. To coddle me there patience. Because they were afraid I was going to go ballistic.
They wanted you to buy more.
Perhaps.
They were nicing you into buying. But it is. I mean, it's in. So we try to do that. And there's people struggling every day, and that makes me sad. It makes it that's a mission. That's the thing we have to continue to fight for our members, and that from a leadership perspective, my goal is that each one of our team members is a leader in one of our members' eyes and giving them good advice and showing them what to do and helping them in some way, shape, or form. So you guys get it, right? I mean, it feels good to help people.
Sure.
Genuinely, it feels good to help people in lots of different ways. And I truly believe there's more than enough to go around. We probably just need to get better at sharing it.
I also think that people probably help others more often than they actually realize they do.
I agree.
I mean, in all honesty, I think that at the core of 99.9% of people, we're helpers. And it is our instinct to do that. Very randomly, I went to Target yesterday to actually get a flash drive to back up my computer just in case. and was walking in a Target, and this woman's water fell out of the bottom of her cart. So I stopped and picked it up, and you would have thought I was a saint. But it was just this natural, like, something falls, you go to pick it up because right. it's a natural reaction, right? But that's helping people. I mean, like, guys, it's really as simple as that. I like, serving others doesn't have to be this grand gesture, like this grand monetary gesture or this grand, you know, gesture of time given or anything like that. It can be so small,
yeah.
and it feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it's not acknowledged or if it's not appreciated, it still feels good because that karma will come back to you. I mean, it really will.
That age-old rule, treat people the way you want to be treated. Huh. It's not that hard. It's ironic. I mean, one of the things that it's the little things. It's serving others. So, yeah. And it's just the little things. It's picking up the trash. It's taking care of the little things and just helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
see what nobody else sees and do it.
Yeah.
I've told this story a couple of times, but when I lived in New York, I was going up to the floor. I worked in Times Square. I walked wow. into the elevator and this woman was running. So I held the elevator door for her. She cried. In the elevator because I held the door for her. She'd had such a bad day and she was running late for work and she couldn't believe that I held the elevator door for her because nobody ever does that. And in my head, I thought, dear Lord, who are these people that don't hold an elevator door out here? I am in the wrong place. I love New York City, don't get me wrong, but that has stuck with me for so many years. Guys, it's an elevator door. Mm-hmm. It took me 3 seconds to stick my hand out. And it literally made her day. Mm-hmm. She broke down in the elevator. It was insane.
It doesn't take much.
No, it really doesn't. It just doesn't take much.
No. And there's opportunities. There's an abundance of opportunities all the time in our lives. And some of it's just taking the time to see them. And life, I mean, society and everything in it doesn't necessarily, you sometimes think, is this a conspiracy theory to make us run as fast as we can so we don't pay attention to anything?
Hmm.
But in the end, some of it is just taking some time in that silence, like mm-hmm. Like you in the turkey blind with your kids.
Yeah.
You know, one of my rules I live by is that everybody's going to forget me. As a CEO, you'll forget about me someday. Everybody that the organization, you know, will forget about me as a CEO. I'll go away. My goal in life is that my kids never forget about me because that will be a colossal failure in my life. And we support that dramatically. I think we make sure that there's I heard recently there is no work-life balance. It's a work-life mesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it interacts with work and life interacts continuously these days. And I think it always has. People trying to have hard lines like it starts here and it stops here. But we're connected all the time these days. So that mesh is wonderful because that mesh might mean that from 1 to 3, I'm going to go see my kids play in the afternoon. Now I might work from 3 to 7, which that wasn't always the possibility or an opportunity in the past. But because of the connectivity and because, so there's good things to this too. But one of those things is that priority of family, again, mm-hmm. coming back to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to say it, you better do it. And there's been times, I mean, I've gotten the call from the school, like, are you going to pick your kid up? And you know, you're like, oh, gosh.
Right.
Second day of school and I forgot. And
parent fail. Yeah.
Hey, but yep. Did you ever forget to send in birthday treats on their birthday? Because I did that.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I missed that.
That prompted me to start a whole new career.
Oh, there you go.
That is. I missed my kids. I was teaching. This is never told this story before. Missed my kids' birthday treats because I was so busy getting lesson plans and teaching other people's children. And then other people are teaching my children and having 3 kids. I totally forgot to send them birthday treats. And my kid got, I picked them up that day and they said, Mom, you forgot to send in, today was my birthday and you forgot to send in my birthday treats. And I was like, I got to do something else. So that night I Googled flexible jobs for moms. With flexible schedules, not kidding you. Real estate popped up as the number one thing. I said, I can do that. So started a real estate class the very next day, got my real estate license it was a 40-hour class. So in a couple months, passed the test, resigned from teaching, even though I loved it. I wanted to be home with my kids while they were little. That's what I did.
You know what that was, though? It was owning your choices, right? Like, you owned your choice of your career.
Well, my kids come first, you know, always. But
I'm just saying, like, you know, he came to you and you, like, reflected. You were like, dang, that was a... At the end of the day, that was a choice. Like, that was a result of a choice that I've made.
Yeah.
Or these choices that I've made, and now I'm going to make a different choice.
Right. To me, it was one of those eye-opening experiences of, like, I'm rushing from one thing to the next. All the while, the magic is sitting right in front of me, and I'm missing out on that. And my dad always tells me, there's just so many magical years. Mm-hmm. Like, just so many. And you don't want to miss them. And so... I mean, I stopped a huge career that had a lot of ramifications. You know, if you stop teaching in the middle of a school year, and you've been teaching in that community, and that's the community you grew up in, there's a lot of backlash that can come from that. Sure. But I stood by that because at the end of the day, I wanted to go to every single class party. I wanted to go to every single field trip. I wanted to do all those things that I wasn't doing because I was teaching kids in my class. And so that's what I did. It wasn't pretty, but I hustled and made it work for a couple of years because you got to pick your priorities, you know? And
you owned it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, really, like, I really do. At the end of the day, it's a tough lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Owning the things that you choose to do. I choose to stay. I choose to leave. Mm-hmm. I choose to accept. I mean, it's tough. It is hard day in and day out, but... Mm-hmm. You know, I think that once you come to have peace with those choices, bad or good, then you become happy.
I think, and that's one of those, not to bring it back, but that's one of those God moments. Like, that's the burning bush. Like, okay, he's given me a message here that maybe things aren't where they need to be. And for me, it's one of those prayerful moments. Like, okay, what are you telling me here? Mm-hmm. What's the message you're sending?
Yeah.
And when things get hard and when people are beating you up and everything's going bad, because things crash and burn, that's when you find that moment, that silence, and that's when I have those conversations like, okay, where are we here? What are you telling me? And sometimes you don't always, the answer is not what you want.
No.
But in the end, it typically leads to bigger and better things. So
it's not even immediate.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, the answers aren't immediate.
Oh, gosh,
sometimes they're,
that was not an easy, like, answer.
Many years down the road.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instant gratification is not.
No.
It's not in there.
No. That's a great lesson for a leader. If you're looking for instant gratification, you're probably going to be sorely disappointed many times over.
Yeah. And there's a lot of second guessing. There's a lot of, I know that you probably have to go soon, so I don't want to keep you forever.
I mean, maybe.
But there's two more things you need to answer for me.
It's taken us so long to get you here. We're gonna get all.
Hey, Pat Moody went for 2 hours and 15 minutes. You're not close.
Oh my gosh.
You're not close.
Wow.
He holds the record.
I'm impressed.
So I want two things here. I want to know your leadership rules. Okay. No surprises. And then I also want to know what role you believe that failure plays as a leader. And then, so go.
We should be able to hit 3 hours easy based on that. The leadership rules, I thought you might go there, so I was somewhat prepared. Uh-huh. I already said the no surprises.
Right.
Be curious. Mm-hmm. So life is a wonderful place. Be curious about life. Ask questions. Question things that don't make sense. Question things that do make sense.
Yeah.
What's out there? What can be? Be a builder. There's too many people that are willing to tear things down. Build. Build new things. Be creative, which is one of my other rules. Can we still be friends? That's one of them, obviously.
That's one of my favorite ones.
One of them is if somebody doesn't know me personally, I can't take it personally if they're being critical, which is one of those don't let it affect you personally. It's a challenge because people want to make it personal, which then the next one that follows that is assume positive intent. too many times today. And I mean, go home and watch the news and you'll see how much wonderful things there is on there. They don't ever lead with positive stories. All these good things that are happening, the holding of the elevator doors, the positive things. I wish a news channel would just start that talks about all the wonderful things people do for each other instead of all the terrible things that are happening. But that, I don't know that that sells.
It doesn't seem right.
So assume positive intent. Stay humble and hungry. It feels good to win. Be a servant leader at home, at work, in life. Never stop challenging. The one about being curious and being creative. So many times you think about your kids or you think about when you were younger and you were willing to try anything. I mean, let's color outside the lines and do all those wonderful things. And there's all kinds of books that teach you all these wonderful things. But in the same sense, some of it is just getting back to before you got here, Angie, and before we went on air, is you were talking about sitting in that in your blind with your son turkey hunting. And you pretty much defined, he was creative. He's like, okay, I'm going to be here. Let's play a game. Let's listen to the, and that's a creativity I think sometimes we lose because we're taught all the rules. So reason over rules is too often not the case. Mm. So I think it's important that we continue to focus on the reasons and not always the rules, because the rules don't fit everybody.
And sometimes it don't make sense. And you make the rules from a different place than usually the people who are having to live by the rules. And sometimes the rules don't make sense for them. You know, and so what does make sense? And we talk sometimes about, like, allow the decision making to happen where the information is.
Right.
Like, you know, if you're saying this is what should happen, but you're 200 miles away and in a completely different position and you're not in front of members or you're not working with customers on it, does that make sense? And be open to the feedback that, great idea, but, you know, that's not working, right?
And that's the thing is are you all of us have situations in our life where we were just wowed by the way somebody treated us or took care of us. And if you can duplicate that and realize that you have an opportunity to wow people. And I think somebody, you guys were talking to a couple episodes ago, smiles are free. Smiles are, and there's not enough of them today. It's hard and people won't engage and they don't smile. They're happy to smile online, but how real is that? I mean, stop doing the smile emoji and actually smile at people. Say hello.
Or put a smile on your door.
Anything. I mean... Just put a big old smiley.
Just make a big old smiley face part of it. Big old smiley face
to your door. but I mean, that was one of the things. That was one of my pet peeves when I was in college. That, you know, if you knew somebody, I say hello to a lot of people, and sometimes they reply, sometimes they don't. But if I said hello to people and they didn't respond, I was like, okay, it's not that hard to say hello.
Right.
And I think that's an important part, just to treat the people you want to be treated. The failure component, that was one of my other rules, is get something out of films. I'm a competitor. I've played sports. I participated. My kids participate. And too many times, we're not willing to look at films. We're not willing to look at, when you went to films and I don't know what, when they go and look at game film, typically you're not picking out like, oh, Angie, you're great at that. And Stacey did wonderful there. I mean, once in a while, yeah. But you're looking at films to critique what went wrong so you don't do it again and so you can improve. That is an opportunity to improve. And you got failure. I think it was in the podcast a couple episodes ago. Failure.
Darren Perry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The root word of
it's
failure.
It's stumbling. It's tripping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not even falling. Mm-hmm. It's redirecting. So get something out of films. Every day is a film in your life. And some people are watching it. And are you open to people sharing what they're seeing and how they're experiencing life with you? So unfortunately, somewhere along the way, we get super hyper sensitive to somebody saying, oh, you know, I didn't think that went the way it should. And there's a lot you can learn from other people and from being critical of creatively and positively critical of the way things went. So I think a great lesson for any leader is to know that you're probably not the smartest person in the room
Hopefully
people,
you're not.
People can, no, you shouldn't be.
Right.
You shouldn't be. If you've not surrounded your people, if you've not surrounded yourself with a lot of smarter people, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But sometimes that gets, I think you said it, Angie, it's people lose track of that and they think they are the smartest person in the room, and all of a sudden, the room gets very quiet.
I start a lot of meetings with, I'm asking this question because I really don't know the answer.
Right.
You know, like.
Well, and that's the key to building a good team. We've said it a couple times on here, is that you build your team full of people that have strengths where you're weak. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, that why would you build your team full of people that can do the same things you can? That just doesn't make sense.
And to replace you someday.
Right, that too.
So
Right. And no to build them up and to encourage them, you know, to be a Dwayne Nelson, to encourage them to do and to continue to grow and to be bigger and better. Yeah, I mean, that's a true mark of a leader for sure. So I'm glad that you said all those things. I'm especially glad that you said, like, continue to be creative and challenge the way it's always been. And what I'm gonna play that part back in a few weeks when I pitch you about this new mortgage video idea I have.
I can't wait.
I already have the script written.
I can't wait.
You should plan on having this podcast on repeat in your office.
It's not the only idea in my head. So I'm I'll just
press. Well, let's just say first. I'd be disappointed if you didn't have ideas in your head, and I'd be worried. So,
well, there's always some out there.
There's no shortage of that.
Sorry. You get to come back next week. I'm out.
I know where you work. It's okay.
Yeah. It usually starts with Angie.
That's creepy.
Angie, what about this?
That's creepy.
What about this? So
have fun, for Pete's sakes. Life is really short, and our time here is not. So, hopefully people, hopefully you leave a mark on people that isn't a bad one. Mm-hmm. Leader, coworker, team member, whatever it may be. Too many times we get really stuck in the minutia, and there's just bigger and better things out there. So I think if you're focusing, get your priorities. I mean, you've heard my three, and if I challenge them, you can't be a hustler if you don't have your priorities.
Yeah.
Because then you're running all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Where are your finish lines? How do you know if you've scored? We talk about that a lot internally, how do you know if you've been successful? And, you know, you said that when you're chasing new jobs, new opportunities, you know that you're going for something.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I think people are just going, and it's not a fun place to be. So it won't be very long, at least. So.
Right. Hustle just for hustling's sake, leaves you pretty empty, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's some bigger priorities. And if there aren't, you know, they should be looking for some burning bushes. That's what I get out of it.
I'd be listening a little more. Yeah.
And listening. Yeah. Yep. And giving.
Yep. The world's bigger than just you.
That's where you could start.
A little prayer and maybe some burning bushes. And it's not going to hurt you. What do you got to lose? Mm-hmm. That's what I always say. What do you got to lose? What's the worst case scenario if you take a shot at it?
Can I tell you, and I wasn't, I don't know if I've ever told this story on air, but the reason that, and I go back to this constantly in my mind, the reason why I truly believe that I'm a jumper and I take chances and I do have that what do you got to lose mentality, is because when I was young, my grandma lived on one side of the field and we lived on the other side of the fields. And it was about 100 yards, maybe not even that, 80 yards between my grandma's house and my house. But I would always hang out at my grandma's because my dad was the oldest of five. So all the kids were there, right? So I'd hang out at my grandma's and then at night I would walk back home. Well, it was the job of one of my uncles or aunt to walk me back home, because if you didn't walk Grammy's baby back home, you're going to be in trouble. So someone had to walk Grammy's baby home.
Her new nickname. Grammy's baby.
She still calls us that. I'm her oldest baby. But so every night it would be like when my uncle Dan, who's only 4 years older, we were like brother and sister, we would race home. We would see who could be the fastest home. When it was my aunt, who was like my best friend, we would just gab, gab, gab the whole way home. When it was my uncle Dave, we would talk about, you know, he's a natural giver, right? So he'd want to hear about my day and talk. He's just a good listener. When it was my Uncle John, we would talk about philosophy on this 80 yard. And What I remembered him saying to me is, sometimes I'd say, Uncle John, but I'm scared it's really dark. And he would say, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Somebody's going to jump out of that bush and kill us? Now we know the worst thing that's going to happen. So if we know what's the worst that could happen, why are we scared about walking 80 yards? There's nothing to be scared about. We know in our minds the worst thing that's going to happen, and that's probably not going to happen. So as long as that doesn't happen, we're pretty good. We're pretty good. And we can face the rest of this world. And I remember as like a 7-year-old being like, that's terrifying.
Yeah, I'm terrified but now, for as you
a
right 30, now.
But as a 37-year-old, like I really do. I have taken that mindset. Like I wake up in the morning and I'm still breathing, you know? Like, so if the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm no longer on this earth, but I still am, why not? Like, why not go for it? Why not race? Why not jump out of trees? Why not do the things? Because the worst thing that could happen, you know, isn't happening, and it hasn't happened. So it kind of puts everything else into perspective. I know that's really extreme. I get that.
It is.
But it worked for me.
All I hear is you guys are going skydiving with me. That's all I heard right there.
Yeah. I don't know. Beth and I guess, would be happy I guess to go, perspective. So. Perspective is what I'm saying out of that. So,
and here's a... I'm a little fearful for Angie right now, and because I think you're running the Spartan race with her, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, she is, yes. Mm-hmm. But she's not the only one.
Mm-mm. We have a team.
Good luck with that.
So that she's not the only one running it with me, which is good. We do have a team.
And the point of the Spartan in October is that everyone finishes together.
Oh.
Finish.
Together. It is not for time. It is not for awards. Mm. Mm-hmm. It is a group of women. Fun here's one. What I love about this one. It's a group of women who've never done this kind of thing before, mm-hmm. but are putting it out there and willing to take on the challenge. Yep. A wide range of women, and we are going to start together and we're going to finish together. Mm-hmm. And at the end, everyone's going to feel pretty dang good about themselves for accomplishing something.
Yep.
Hey, so, push the limits, right?
That's the intent. 100%.
Be comfortably uncomfortable.
Uncomfortably uncomfortable.
Yep.
That's how I feel after telling my, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to die. Someone's going to jump out. Sorry, Uncle John. He's a very successful lawyer in Grand Rapids right now. He turned out just fine.
I bet he is. Is he a defense attorney? Because that would be like...
He is.
Well, Uncle John, now that everybody knows...
He was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight
it
in the studio.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for talking about where your basis is and your rules for leadership and you know, the people that impacted you, because I think it's important to point out those people and to tell them, you know, the impact that they made, because it feels good for them, but it also allows you to emulate that and carry that forward. So,
yeah, no, it's been a wonderful ride so far. And, I mean, I said it before, there's no way. And this, you talk about the peers, but in the end, really it comes down to my wife has been an amazing partner, a business mm-hmm. partner for me. I mean, there's no way I'd been able to do what I've been able to do if it wasn't for Beth. And, she gave up a career. And that's the other thing I shared is, you know, on the personal side, my job, if I screw it up, we don't balance. We have some things, but she screws up her job and there's four human beings that are going to terrorize this world for the rest of their lives. So I am blessed by the fact that she was willing to do that. And so that none of this happens mm-hmm. with all the mentors and all the professional people. There's really no way that happens without an amazing woman in my life. So I say that I've worked around a lot of amazing women and with a lot of amazing women, and I continue to be amazed by the people that balance work and life and kids. And because let's face it, the kids run to mom. They do, and that's a big deal. Dad loves to play a part. There's no question about it. But mm-hmm. cheers to all the hustling women that are out there in the world, and. It's great to be part of it. So God bless you both. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. It's a lot of fun and I continue to be an avid listener. So keep
awesome.
It up.
Thank you.
Well,
I can't think of a better way to end.
I can't top that.
Absolutely not. Me neither.
All right. Well, again, thanks for listening, folks. If you haven't subscribed on iTunes or Spotify, make sure you do that. You can find us on all platforms at HAH Pod. Make sure that you are telling your friends about us if you think that this is something worth listening. We love that you're a part of our tribe. We love the messages that you send us. We love us the comments that you leave. We like the emails that you send us, and we are looking forward to bringing you more guests that can inspire you, and then you can glean a little bit of leadership skills from as well. So
we have a great lineup coming up.
Yeah, we do. So, all right, everybody. That's a wrap for us. Thanks for listening. See you later, hustlers.
Hustle on.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacy Carlin and Angie Crocker. All views and opinions expressed on the show are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacy and Angie on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. You can also send the show an email to letschat@HIHpod.com. Feel free to write into the show if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. So be sure to reach out to us if you've got a question, comment, want to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all the ladies have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for their newest episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.
Before, do you want us to open the suite for
you? Don't
you
don't have to, no. Yeah, have I'm good.
No,
I'm good.
Really?
No, I'm good.
Chardonnay is not sweet.
No, it's not, but I'm learning because I got called out.
Drink the Moscato.
I got called out by one of the wine guys. He's like, I'm going to get you some pink socks.
Do not let them shame you into drinking dry wine.
It doesn't matter because as soon as the sangria comes out, the sangria is out.
Yeah, it is out. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you need help?
No, I got it. Okay. But thank you. I appreciate it.
We're recording. Yeah. One of the things
Can
that I'd like...
Somebody help me with this wine bottle, please? I'm used... It doesn't open like a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
It's not a pop top.
It's not a pop top. I'm not sure how to use
how
this
How come this
thing?
Doesn't twist off? I'm amazed you guys have a
straw. You got to do a little bit more.
Yeah, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
No, you got to twist a little bit more all the way down.
A little bit more, but then like pull up on the things.
Yeah.
Pull up on the...
Nope, you got to push those down. Oh. Yep.
I always pull up on them and then screw it out.
Oh.
You like this?
Yeah, because then it lifts it up and then I just screw it out the rest of the way.
I don't think that's the right way either.
Well, why else would they have the handles on it?
So you can go and push it down and then it pops it up.
Okay.
Hey, you know what matters?
Do you have your it's name open. On here? Is that creepy?
I do not.
She like etched her name on
it. I do not. 100%. Yeah. It's actually probably a gift that somebody got engraved
she
for.
She stole it.
No, but that would be a great gift for
Why
me.
Why does it say Sheila?
Sorry, Aunt Sheila. I stole your wine opener. She would not be surprised by that.
I don't want to know what slightest. Else you have in your purse.
All that's happening right now is Mike is like, why is there so much talk?
So much
recording?
For background noise.
Sorry, Mike.
Jeez, guys. Cheers.
You can pull some of that. That's fine. All right. I suppose I should get started.